Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Peter Maxwell Slattery Show. And on this episode, we've got Debbie Tripp from, is it Nashville in Tennessee in America?
It is.
Thank you for being on the show.
Well, thank you, Peter, for having me.
No, you're welcome. You're welcome. Now, I'll be putting up a link to your website, but you cover a lot of things besides just, you know, being an experiencer, but you cover different forms of healing and, you know, doing things with meditation, Reiki, and other things.
Yes.
But I think we'll start off with how you've sort of got into this with the healing and your experiences. So wherever you think we should go, we'll just go into it.
Okay. Well, sure. Well, as far as doing the healing work that I do, I was actually a massage therapist for 17 years. And eventually my back and wrists and fingers started to give out because I was doing deep tissue work. And I started to go into gentler modalities. And so I went into Reiki and healing touch and sound therapy and hypnotherapy and EFT and a lot of meditation and aromatherapy also. So those things were already very well in place for several years before I started to have my experiences. And it's kind of funny because it was several months after my conscious experiences started that I realized, oh, hey, I have these tools in my toolbox that I can help not only myself, but other people that are going through this with. So it was kind of, I always think it's kind of funny that it didn't immediately occur to me that these things could help, because I know for myself, going through the experiences that I had, especially those first two, I was at my wit's end. You know, I didn't know what to do or where to turn, and it was awful. And I thought, you know, nobody should have to go through this. If somebody is having an experience, they should be able to know who to call and what to do and what kind of therapies can help them through it and can kind of help them take control of it. Because, and I'm sure you know this, I always find that a good meditation makes for a good visitation.
It does, yep.
And yes, I mean, it's really such a wonderful tool to use. And it kind of helps you to be in contact on your own terms. Because one of the things that I had felt in the beginning was so helpful, you know, that helplessness and feeling just hopeless that there's nothing I can do. They can just come whenever they want and do whatever they want. And I have no say or control over it. So this, you know, really diving into the meditation, it became a wonderful therapy for me. And then I started to do EFT on myself. But it was probably, about a year, just a little over a year later, when my husband was going out of town on a business trip, and he was going to be gone for 4 nights. And it was the first time I was going to be alone since those experiences happened. And I do have my daughter here, but, you know, I hated that helpless feeling of it just being me and her. And even though I know if my husband was here, there's nothing he can do when this is happening, it just always helped me after the event to have him there. So I started doing EFT on myself. And for those of you who don't know what EFT is, a lot of hypnotherapists that know EFT will often use it as a first line of defense for issues. And you're not put under and you're not, you know, in an alpha sleep state, although you are in a very much of an alpha state when it is going on. Almost a beta state. So what I do with my clients is we sit across from each other, and whatever the issue is, let's say it's fear, we start tapping on acupuncture points, and they repeat phrases after me that have to do with the issue. So the theory of EFT is that our unresolved negative emotions are major contributors to most of our physical pains, diseases, and anxieties. And then the cause of all of these negative emotions is nothing more than a disruption in your body's energy system. Yeah. So that energy system that acupuncturists are putting needles into, those are the spots that we are tapping, and we're tapping pretty hard. And, you know, most contactees, they are dealing with fear, just all out fear. They're dealing with anxiety, panic attacks, post-traumatic stress.
Spot on.
Yeah. Yeah. And insomnia.
Yep.
And I personally have all of those myself. So I thought, okay, he's leaving town. Now is the time for me to really just go gangbusters on this. So for a few days before he left, I really was tapping on myself, saying all the things I was feeling. You're rating yourself on a scale of 0 to 10 to see how intense the emotion is connected to the issue. So I was mainly dealing with fear and anxiety. And so he left, and he was gone for the 4 nights, and I did great. I was really surprised at how well that I did. And I also, you know, I have heard from other people that if you ask to be left alone, they will honor that.
You're exactly right. And yeah. I've spoken to Mary Rodwell and even Alan Ferguson, who's a good friend of mine, and he's a ufologist up in Darwin, the top end of Australia. And last mm-hmm. year, I was having pretty full-on activity. I was getting... It was weird, like I'd get like a helicopter sound. It was sort of like the winding sound, but instead of the thud of the propeller, it was sort of silence. And I was getting taken that way on a couple of experiences, and everything, it was sort of like time and space didn't exist around me when this sort of mm-hmm. thing was happening. And other experiences were happening in other ways, because there's just so much that comes here, which a lot of people have witnessed now, just different types of beings and so forth. But at that time, I just started a job which I no longer do now, but it was just too much for me. And I spoke to both of them, and they were saying, just let them know that it's too much. Now, other people have he said this publicly lately, and in sort of a comment section on a newspaper thing, people were saying, no, you know, what about what Bud Hopkins and John Mack, which I totally respect what they've done, both of them. But it's something that actually does work, because this bloke was saying that, you know, these guys say it's going to happen no matter what, which, you know, at a certain point, when you're not taking the reins of what's going on, you're sort of, you know, not trying to participate and say, you know, if this is what's going to happen, it's going to happen, where you can actually change that and participate in the experiences mm-hmm. and say yes or no. And after that happened, actually one night that, you know, that was happening with the weird helicopter type sound around me, and I screamed out and just said, not now, you know, I just don't need this right now. And it actually stopped. And mm-hmm. that, what you're saying is a great point for other experiences, because some, you know, a lot have been told, you know, you can't do nothing about it, where you can get to a certain point where you're participating and sort of being active in experiences, you do have a say, and they do listen. And the funny thing is, too, on the opposite end of that, is that there sort of becomes a period in time where you sort of miss the experiences, and then they pick up on that too, and they will come back through. So,
yes.
But you're exactly right in what you're saying, and a lot of people sort of don't speak about that, which I find fascinating that you brought up. We've never talked to today or yesterday, really, and you're coming up with that same information, which, you know, it's just funny that you've brought that up. So I just wanted to put that in.
Yeah. No, thank you for saying that. Yeah. I mean, I remember there was a couple of weeks, several months before he left, that there was a lot of activity going on, and I was just tired. And I said, I need a break. And I had heard somebody I think it was Ann Streber's show. Somebody had said, if you just ask for a break, they'll give it to you. Now, whether that means they are really giving you a break or they're just not letting you remember, I don't know. And I don't care. I'm fine with not, you know, if it's still happening and I'm not remembering,
it's cool.
Great. I am cool with that. So I remembered I had done that during that after those 2 active weeks. So then, yeah, so I did all my EFT, and before he left, I said, I'm closing the portal. Please don't bother me while he's gone. Thank you. And he left for the 4 days, did great. He came back. And I remember I jokingly said, okay, the portal is back open. And I kid you not, the next day, I woke up and I was talking to my mother on the phone. And I was kind of just, I had my left hand on my knee and I was kind of just making little circles, fiddling next to my knee. And I felt these bumps. And I thought, what on earth is that? You know, they were really obvious. And it was a perfect triangle. And that picture is also on the website. It was this perfect triangle of raised, 3 raised red bumps. And I just kind of laughed. I thought, well, there you go.
Yeah, well, that's the other opposite end of the spectrum is that if you don't know about it, you know, you're putting that out there. It's sort of like, what we'll do is give them either a screen memory or completely knock them out so they just don't realize. But I've had a similar thing where, well, I actually remember an experience with seeing the back of something. Later I found out in the next day it was gray, because what happened was I was doing what you were doing. I was actually sitting having a coffee at me coffee table out in the laundry room, and I was rubbing my leg and I realized I had a scoop mark. But what came from that was sort of an activation of what had happened that night, because originally I woke up and I saw something in the laundry room and went back in the bedroom and closed the door because I was just freaking out. And I stayed up the rest of the morning. But then, yeah, so it's obviously they'll do what they got to do where you can handle it.
Right. And, you know, and I think that's, you know, and they may be learning at the same time that we're learning of how, what is the common ground and the happy medium point where they won't scare the heck out of us and we're willing to work with them. Because I have come around to the way of thinking that we have probably made this agreement before we came here to take part in this, whatever this is. And, you know, our DNA, there's so much of it, they don't know what it does. Our brain, there's so much of our brain that they don't know what it does. And that maybe, you know, this is going to be turned on. The number sequences we talked about before we started recording, you know, I wonder if those are codes that are just, you know, giving us something that we're taking in, that someday the switch is going to be turned on and the computer program is going to be in place. And we're going to know what to do or why all this is happening or whatever. But yeah, it's just, it's interesting. And when you were talking about how it's like, you don't want it to happen, but you kind of miss it if it doesn't happen. I had that feeling too. And when I had talked to Kathy Martin about it, I said, you know, I know it sounds crazy, but it's like, as petrified as I've been, I'm craving the experience. I want to go sit in a field and wait for them to come. And she said, that's a real common thing.
Have you actually done that?
I have done the sitting. Well, yes. So one night we finally said, okay, let's go sit in the field. And my husband and daughter and I drove out to a field near the house. And we were sitting there for about 10 minutes. I had the windows open. And I thought, this is just ridiculous. You know, what are we doing? And I was really happy that they obliged me, you know, and humored me to do this. And so just as I'm thinking that, I get this incredibly stabbing needle-like pain in my left eye. And it was so bad that I grabbed my eye and I screamed. I'm like, ow, what is that? And it, you know, it lasted for a few seconds. My eye was watering. And I thought, I want to go home. Let's just go home. My eye's hurting. And my husband, he said, you got so cranky so fast and you got so tired. Now, here I am. I have insomnia. I don't sleep well. We barely made it in the door and I got to the bed and I fell fast asleep. And Jim O'Connell, who is doing the Experiencers TV show, he had said to me, you know, when they want your attention, they will get it. So, you know, it could be I was called to that field, and it could be that something was done in that field and they wanted me unconscious for whatever might be have gone into my brain. So that was interesting.
And the intention part has got so much to do with it, the intention of thought and what surrounds that thought, because I thought, you know, this is a bit far out, but like last year I started about a year ago in October last year, I started I'd heard other people, you know, like James Gilliland and Dr. Green and people doing intention experiments. And I started doing meditation out the backyard with the laser, and they were showing up, and it took a while to even want to tell anybody about it, because I'm thinking these guys are thinking I'm summoning an eight. You know, it's not like that at all. It's sort of a if you put the intent. Well, first off, I start with meditation, and I sort of surround myself with a good energy, and sort of let all the negative stuff and psychic bonds dissolve, and then I go into a deep state of consciousness where I sort of look where my thoughts are, how I'm perceiving my thoughts, and go out of body. But over the last few months, I started taking people out, and I've got a lot of videos up on the website now where, this is just one example. My mum had never seen a craft. She believed me about what was going on because she could see the change in me, but I took her out one night, and her best friend, and I took another friend of mine out. We had over 10 crafts fly over in an hour, which I caught all on film, and I've got their witness testimony.
Wow.
And then the next night, just to show mum it wasn't a fluke, I took her out again the next night, and we almost saw 20 crafts that night, or around 20 crafts, and they actually got close. The first night, I had to take mum home because she started freaking out thinking they were going to land. And I said, no, I really want you to stay out here for a bit longer, because I said, now you know what I've got to go through. And I said, they're not going to do what you can't handle. But I've started doing that, and it's sort of – I just really want to work with star seeds, you know, a lot of people like us, because they're at a point where they can do the meditation and that, but I can give them the tools to do it themselves, and then they can do it with others. But as what I've said to people is, this is a group thing, but I want it to work out where they can take control on their own experiences, so it doesn't affect them too much, but it's up to where they've got to go. So I just wanted to say that, because intent has got a lot to do with either having the experience or some form of telepathic communication. Something can happen, like in that field, that would have been something happening there that we may not be able to grasp of what actually happened, but you know, obviously, you know, you thinking about that, thinking that there could be, there most likely is something that did happen.
Yeah, I mean, I do think something happened, and you know, my husband and daughter were there to witness it, and they, you know, the way I responded was completely unlike myself, and out of the usual. So yeah, I mean, it was interesting, and I slept for several hours after that. So I don't know what could have been going on astrally while I was asleep during that. I don't know. But I do think that the meditation helps you to have a little bit of control, or at least gives the illusion that you have some control, and that's okay too.
well, that's it. And it's even good, as I say to people, if they don't want to do like a deep, it's very rarely, a lot of people sort of get scared with me doing the meditation, because after, you know, a few minutes, they actually feel the energy and they feel really blissed out. And they're like, oh my God, like, you know, this something is happening that they haven't perceived before. And it's like I've said to people where, have you ever walked into a room and found out there was an argument, but you sort of knew there was an argument just in that room before seeing anything, hearing anything? And these are the energies, vibrations we pick up on. And that's just something that anybody can pick up on. But the meditation side of things is even good, just if it's just to clear the mind, sort of re-energize the body and re-energize the brain, just when, you know, everything in the natural world is getting to you. So there's many benefits of it. So what do you do with the meditations with your services? So what is it actually you do with the meditation?
Well, I lead meditation groups, and the thing about doing it as a group that's important is that if you have 10 people in a room meditating together on the same topic, it's just like 100 individuals meditating separately. So when you meditate as a group, it amplifies that energy so much. So, if you're trying to do a contact kind of meditation, that makes a difference. Now, I have not done that specifically as far as summoning crafts or communicating with ETs. We have just done a lot of, general other kind of topic kind of group meditations. Ironically enough, though, I'm going somewhere tonight where I believe there will be a group meditation out in the middle of nowhere. So we'll see how that goes because, I've heard such wonderful stories of that.
Well, like I say to anybody, it will not work if your intent isn't right. Now, like I've said, the people are nearly probably once it hasn't worked out of probably almost 100 times already. But what I've said to people is I don't guarantee it because what it is if you haven't got if even if one person isn't in the mindset where the rest of the group is, it's just not going to work right. And the other thing is too, these beings, whether they're interdimensional or they're extraterrestrials from our dimension, or even terrestrials from inside the Earth, which I've had a lot of encounters with all those types of beings and time travelers. But it's a sort of a two-way street where if they can pop up, they will. They're not a dog on anyone's leash. It will just happen if it's meant to happen, and if they're able to do so. So it's not a guaranteed thing. But what I have learned is that what this does is that it shows them that you're trying to meet them halfway, because I know from experience that a lot of the time they either use our vibrational or our energy, our soul essence, to come down the dimensions, or if they can't do that, they've got to really bring themselves and vibrate down the density. And it's a lot for them, but if you're trying to meet them halfway, they usually, will give it a go because, you're trying to meet them halfway. They see it's like trying to help somebody that's trying to help themselves. You're like, oh, I'll just help them a little bit. So, it's possible something will happen. It's not guaranteed every time, but I think the thought of it, the practicing of meditation, and wanting to give it a go is, just a good thing in itself.
Absolutely. And I don't know. I think that's helping the people. It's helping them. I think they want us to learn that tool, and I think they have people in place to teach people how to use that tool instead of just feeling victimized or that you can't do anything about it or participate the way you want. And I'll tell you, when I really started meditating because of this issue, I noticed that, not only were the experiences nicer, but I when that paralysis might set in, I wouldn't fight it. Like it helped me to learn to relax and kind of enjoy the ride, so to speak. And I felt, I had one experience where I felt that paralysis coming on, and I had been laying on my left side. And I thought, I'm not going to struggle. I'm just going to relax into this. And immediately, like this happened very fast, it felt as if my cells were dissipating, as if I was just disappearing. And I had seen recently a video with Jim Sparks speaking about being taken the easy way and the hard
Well, I
way.
think one of
And
those
the
ways
easy
was the
way is,
helicopter feeling that I was telling you about. I think that might have been the hard way. I'm not sure. I can't, because it was the easy way and the hard way, yeah.
Well, yeah, and the time that I had told you about being sucked up in the ship, that was definitely the hard way. The hard way is when something's hovering near you and you are kind of just whoop, taken up there. The easy way is when they float you through a wall or the ceiling or whatever hard surface, and obviously something's got to happen in that to make that physically possible. And so I wondered, am I coming out? Am I going in? But whatever it is, it was the most amazing feeling. And I thought it must be what near-death experiencers say when they say they felt encompassed by all this love. It was so loving, and I did not want it to stop. It was just amazing. And I'd kind of try to roll a little bit onto my back. And anytime I did that, I lost it. And then when I would move back to my side, I'd feel it again. And then I also got that humming in the ear. And I did that a couple of times and then it went away. And I just thought, oh, that was just amazing. Like I could go through that every
Yeah.
day and just enjoy it.
Now that's cool. So
Yeah.
what do you want to tell us about some experience or types of beings or states where you've had interactions or your experiences that sort of led you to where you are now?
Sure. Well, I had had my first memorable experience in November of 2011, and I always tell people it was that typical cliche, you're seeing the bottom of a craft and this big beam of light comes down and you are sucked up into it. And in that situation, I was struggling. I felt like I was just kicking and screaming to stop the suction, and the suction was so strong. And then a male voice said, "Now, Debbie, just relax. You know we need to do this." And I immediately just relaxed and thought, "Well, here we go again." And I felt as if I had done it 100 times
Yeah.
before. And as soon as I did that and just let go, everything went black. And that was the incident where I had gotten very sick afterwards and had the rash on the neck and the sty in the eye. And ended up with tonsillitis for 2 weeks.
Bit of a battle.
And wondering, and I didn't think of this at the time. It wasn't until later. And I think I had read about Whitley Strieber having kind of an allergic reaction to either the beings or the craft or radiation or something that had made him very similarly
Yeah, that's
ill.
very common. Yeah, yep.
And then after my confirmation, kind of for each experience, is that I will always get a rash on the right side of my neck and it will be very inflamed. And I don't usually have skin issues. So this has only started to happen since the experiences have happened. So,
Now,
but anyway, that
do
no,
you
go
Are
ahead.
these type of experiences, do you think you're putting back to the greys? Because usually those sort of symptoms of reaction, allergic reaction type things usually go back to the greys. I'm not saying all of it is, but usually from what I've heard, I haven't had that myself. I sort of just freak out and then I don't know what they do with me. It's I can for
Yeah.
some reason I can't handle them as much as other beings. And the funny thing is that the greys sort of are closer to our vibration. It's like as if I just don't resonate with them. I'm cool with them, but I just can't get used to it. But do you know if the interactions where you usually get the rash or whatever it goes back to the greys, or you're not sure?
Well, I mean, my experience is with the grays. And I, I had the experience 2 months later with the blue, the glowing blue gray that was in my bedroom. And then I had the experience with the council, and I couldn't see the face, and it was a woman. I don't know if she was a gray or not, but she had a hood on, and she was the one who was telling me to follow the eagle. The eagle's wisdom isn't new, it's ancient. Follow the eagle. But yeah, and I had the experience with that holographic brain and also with a woman energy. And each time I,
So
get the
you'll get the
rash.
rash
So I don't
each
know if it's,
time from, yep.
yeah, every time, no matter what it is. And granted, they could all be gray experiences. This a few days ago, I had my first humanoid kind of experience. And I did not get too much of a rash. It was just very slight. So, and I don't have much to tell about that experience except that I was standing with this humanoid being that I knew was not human.
Did it have big eyes?
And I
Yeah,
didn't see the
yep. Yeah.
face. It was just it, she had long dark hair, and I was standing in such an angle I could not tell is she tall, is she short, because after I was trying to analyze it. And I couldn't really tell. It was just this very silent, brief experience that I knew was not just some dream or some person in a dream. And then I did have an experience with this young man who was just beautiful, very human looking. I guess that would have been another humanoid experience, and I just didn't really think of it very much. I thought of it, it was just a dream with this person, but the way I felt when I came out of the dream, I had never seen this person in real life. They had like white hair and beautiful big blue eyes. Kind of fun, like a fun, flirty
yeah, a bit of a
personality. And
giddy person. Yeah.
And it, you know, and when I, and he told me his name was Alex, and when I came out of it, I missed him so much. Like I missed him. Like I just lost a long, long lost family member that I'm never going to see again. And he was just this beautiful being. But I did have a rash after that. I do remember that. So I don't know if it's just, I mean, there's definitely extremes of that rash. It seems like the more extreme the experience, the more extreme the rash is.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's very, and what's even more interesting is the variety of beings you're interacting with. And I was talking to somebody about this the other day where I said, what I've come to realize is that, I didn't go into this too much in my last book, so it will go into the next one, but what I've realized is that, I touched on it lightly, I think, but all these beings that have interacted, or not all of them, a large percentage, it's their friends from past lives or other dimensions that I have worked with, which is very interesting. And what you're bringing up at the start of this interview about the DNA and that, the information that I've got is that the junk DNA is not junk DNA. It's actually got to be turned on, and we can be in the state of what humanity was meant to be, which is another thing that's been exposed to me, was that we're a mixture of many races, and they wanted to sort of do a genetic upgrade and sort of make something that was sort of like a supreme being in the 3D realm. And we'll sort of like that in the beginning, but because we lost the oneness, the DNA had to be turned down, because what comes with the oneness is the DNA turning on, because you've got the oneness and the full consciousness. And then when that breaks down, it turns down. So yeah, there's a lot of interesting sort of things that I'm thinking about with your experiences, especially the variety of beings, because usually with some people it's just, you know, the greys, or it's the Nordic type beings, where you're sort of having a variety of interactions, and you know, it's very interesting. Have you had hypnosis done on yourself at all?
No, and you know, people always ask me this because I am a hypnotherapist. I have chosen not to be regressed. And my reason is because I have been dealing with enough post-traumatic stress from these issues that I do not want to remember them again. And even if they were to regress you and make it so you don't remember, your body during that time is still going through that trauma, and it's storing somewhere in your cells. So even if they fixed it so I'm not going to remember what was said during the session, you're still reliving the experience, and that's still going to have a stress response on your body.
I understand where you're coming from. See, the books that I've written have got their full recollection. It was only a couple of months ago I decided to get a regression done, because I'd been speaking to Mary Rodwell for a while, and she said, when you need to know, you know, they'll let you know, like we're talking about. But something really peed me off, because I had an experience in the middle of the day with another friend of mine, and we heard this weird noise, and eventually we got out of the car and we saw this craft in another place. And coincidentally, Rodwell played, you know, she said, was this the sound? And it was the exact sound me and my friend heard. And it came from everywhere while we were driving the car. We couldn't tell where it came from. And she said, oh, that's a sound of a UFO that James Gilliland recorded. And I'm like, geez, something happened. And because it sort of peed me off to the point where, what? Because I was having interactions where I could remember. But it was like, why couldn't I remember this? And so I can understand where you're coming from, but what wasn't expected of that was Bang spoke through me, and it was with many different types of beings from other places, and I was completely drained because you can see on the video for a little bit. I put the whole thing up on YouTube, but I was vibrating for a few minutes, and what we worked out, Mary said that most likely it was the their energies resonating with my physical body till they could sort of take over the speech and everything. But it's
Wow.
double making me think they're beings from Orion, but there was beings from the Pleiades and Sirius as well there. But and I think somewhere else, I'm not sure, I can't remember. But I can remember the first half of the regression. The second half, I can remember sitting out of body, looking in on me, talking to Rodwell, and I could see the beings that were speaking through me, but I can't remember that. I can just remember that, and then going back in the body. So it's really weird how that went. And I can understand why, if that's how you're looking at it, it's a good way to, if that's the way you want to do it, that's work. What works for you, do it, as I say to everyone. So I was sort of skeptical of hypnosis. But once I got it done, what sort of freaks, well, not freaks me out, just trips me out a little bit, is the how visual everything was. I could see, you know, what was happening and replaying back. So I can understand that. So you do hypnosis as one of your services, don't you?
I do, yes. And I've done a lot of past life regressions, and I've never had a bad experience doing a past life regression with someone else. And I've done, many myself, and that's all good. And someday I may choose to have a regression on myself for this issue. I just know it's not now. But someday, if I feel the need, or if some other experience happens that I'm, like with you, that was a real situational experience that you wanted an answer for, then I certainly would employ that and get it done. So I just figure it'll happen in its own time. I am not real keen on regressing abductees or experiencers right now. With me doing it
So
right
you
now
focus on
myself.
past lives.
Well, I mean, it just so happens I've had a lot of people want
All
past
right, yeah.
life regression. But I work with Audrey Humans in Maine. I'm part of her Starborn support team, and we provide support for experiencers, and her goal is to have someone in every state that can have a support group and or a hypnotherapist or a psychotherapist that can work with these people as they're having these experiences. And it's a wonderful organization. So, what I do with them is I do the support group, I do the EFT, the tapping for when they are fearful. And the nice thing about that is it can be done over Skype. So if somebody is halfway around the world and they've had an experience and they're like, "Oh my God, I can't sleep, I'm petrified." As long as we have a good connection and can see and hear each other, we can do the EFT to kind of help bring them down into a more peaceful place and hopefully get them to sleep that night. So as a hypnotherapist, my thing is doing the EFT. And that's not to say I won't ever do regressions for people for abduction or contact. It's just right now, I think because I myself am so vulnerable with it, because it's been 2 years since my conscious experiences. Just this past week was the November 3rd was my second anniversary of the ship experience. And I still very much consider myself a newbie. I'm very new, whereas you have people like Mary that have been doing this forever. I'm just not, I think for myself as well as the other person, I'm not ready to do regressions for
Yeah, well,
contactees, but I will happily do the
that's
EFT.
understandable because it's a lot to sort of take on board when you're actually going through it. It's you know, I'll say if you eventually do that, I think it'll be a few years away because it's just so much to it affects every facet of your life. So to take that on board as well. It's sort of, we've got to deal with our own issues, and it's sort of like help yourself before you help others, because therefore you're not going to give them the best
Right.
of you. So I can totally understand that. It's,
Yeah.
like you said, post-traumatic stress and insomnia and just all these things we have to deal with. And it's, I think those type of things don't go away, but we can manage them, because I think that there's so much that we go through as experiences that on the physical body, you're just going to have these ramifications of those types of effects. I think in time you just get to manage them. I was going through a bit of hardcore stress last year, and it sort of died down, and I've sort of worked out how to manage it, but it's something that we go through that a lot of people don't think about, and especially what our families have to go through too.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And one thing, we have Michael Melton on our Starborn support team, and he's a wonderful psychologist. And he was talking about post-traumatic stress, that most people that suffer from post-traumatic stress, they can trace it back to an incident or a time period, like a bad car accident or a house fire or the loss of a loved one, or even if it was a soldier, that particular tour of duty, and then it's over. With contactees, it's never really over. I mean, it is continuous, usually, not for everyone, but for a lot of us, it is ongoing, and you don't know when the next time's going to be. And so just when you get to a good place and you think, oh, I'm good, boom, there's the next experience. And so it's kind of like having the incident happen over and over and over that's causing these PTSD symptoms. So it's a little different. And unfortunately, I know there are people out there trying to get a diagnosis called post-abduction syndrome, which would be more apropos. But
Try
trying
past
to get that passed is,
that.
yeah, I mean, that'll probably never
That would be
happen.
cool if it
But
did, but yeah, I think it'd be pretty darn hard to get that passed through the medical establishment.
Right. And John Mack was onto a good thing. I mean, I maybe if he was still around, that could have happened.
Very smart man he
But
was.
yes, absolutely. And just did so much help and validation for experiencers. And we just so the only diagnosis we can say is PTSD. That's kind of what we're stuck with. But it's really our what the incident that causes the PTSD is repetitive. It's ongoing. And that's the big difference.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you a funny story about that. I went to my doctor about all this type of thing, and you're saying you've got anxiety, stress, insomnia, and he said even a case of OCD, because I'm a clean freak. Everything's got to be clean and tidy and in its place. But so I said, you're basically saying with the first sort of things, put the OCD, OCD beside, aside. I said, so is it like post-traumatic stress disorder? He didn't even know what it was, and he looked it up and he
Really?
said, well, yeah. And I said, I was just thinking, going, so many people, even on the news with police officers here in Australia, or with fire ambulance, or whatever, there are, and military
Yeah.
personnel coming back from war or whatnot, there's so many cases that it's brought up, and I was just surprised that, and
That is
I did
surprising.
talk to him eventually about this, and he thought I was nuts for so many years, and recently he just retired, and I gave him my books before I retired, and I said, look, here's everything here. I said, a lot of it you've heard, but he said, I feels bad because, and he felt bad because he thought I was nuts, but after talking to me how long he did about this, he said, there could be something, because I wasn't just bringing up what's happened to me. I brought up, military personnel, witnesses, places he could go and check and verify what I'm saying, because I tend to do that rather than talk about myself to some people that aren't in this at all, because it sort of points them in a direction where they can get, hard data. But it's pretty tripped out that he didn't know about post-traumatic stress disorder and the amount of people with it, putting abductees or experiences aside, is pretty prevalent out there. So it's that just tripped me out anyway.
And it's good that you're able to rattle off like you know, people that have, big name people like astronauts and astrophysicists and people like that, that have, you know, said things like this have happened, you know, kind of deflecting it off of you to, hey, you know, these people have seen stuff. And, you know, again, having never been into the topic before, you know, I have read about all those counts of these, you know, astronauts and such that, you know, have come on the record and said, hey, you know, this is what I saw, this is what happened. And it always amazes me when somebody will say, oh, none of that, there's no proof of that. And I say, really, what research have you done into this field? Because I think there's plenty of proof and on record accounts. So, you know, don't judge something that you have never studied.
Exactly.
You know, if you've studied this, you know, if you've studied this field in and out, then certainly that's an interesting point of view, because that's not very accurate. But if you haven't studied it, don't be so quick to pass judgment. But I think that people pass judgment because ultimately they're afraid and they do think there could be something going on.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's just a defense mechanism.
Well, it is. And at the same time, what I've learned especially is that I can't go into it fully with anybody straight up unless they've had similar experiences, because I will do their head in. And it's sort of like they've got to wean themselves into this reality of the resources and information and the data and everything else, because it will just do their head in straight up. And it's funny, yeah. You posted that video yesterday, and I don't think I've even spoke about this publicly, but I didn't sleep 24 hours before that interview. And I actually spoke to the producer for a long time about who I am, what's going on. And when I got into that interview on live TV, Mel from Sunrise didn't have a clue. I could tell that she didn't know what she got herself into. And she didn't, you can tell from her reaction to when saying I've had experiences with these beings, she almost just fell off the chair. And I straight away I knew that she'd been set up, and I'd been set up, more likely me set up to look like a fool on national TV, and that's why I go into the military witnesses and so forth. And I screwed up saying, you know, I've only had one experience with one being, but I thought if I go all out, I'm just going to do a heading. And that's why I just thought, well, if I bring up something like that, it's something that they can chew on, because if I go into what's really going on to the extent that it does, it's just, you know, I could just see getting pulled off the air, or she would have an aneurysm laying on the ground from the information download I just gave her, you know, because it's just too much. Yeah. But, you're spot on, is that, you know, these are just things that a lot of people don't know about, because it's, you know, not in the media. And I've said to people even the Disclosure Project, people have had a lot of hits at Dr. Greer because some of the witnesses weren't vetted, this and that. I think he did a good job. I think he put something together that hadn't been done in history and hadn't been got that much exposure. At the same time, that should have been front page or headline news here in Australia, but nobody heard about it. I had a lot of people contacting my brother saying, is he, you know, telling the truth about, you know, the military witnesses? And he's like, yeah, that's old news. And I was getting hits by people in the UFO field going, you know, that happened more than 10 years ago. And I said, yeah, but nobody in Australia in the public knows about it. So this is just a little...
Well, nor here, even in the United States, I just don't think a lot of people know about it either, because they do a really good job at either making it all look like a lie or stupidity, if it even gets out at all.
Exactly. And that's where we sort of look nuts, because the media haven't looked into this. I think if they looked at it as a cold case where they start fresh, brand new, you know, they'll be pretty surprised with the data and the evidence supporting what we talk about. But because that's not their agenda when they go into the story, they just think, you know, we'll play the X-Files music to start off with. And then like they do every time something's here on Aliens, they didn't do that on my interview, but all morning up to the lead up of that, they kept on playing the X-Files music, which sort of peed me off. But it's very interesting that's how it is, not just here in Australia, but also in America. And that's sort of where it's, you know, a lot of people look to American ufology because there's sort of not too much going on in their own countries, or there's sort of not a social networking system set up to do so. But America seems to have a lot going on. You've got MUFON, And the sort of state chapters, and you've got the UFO Congress and a lot of sort of avenues and talk shows where it's sort of exposed, which that's what I'm sort of wanting to do here, is just sort of give it more of an avenue where, you know, it's sort of like just a place people can go to and just sort of listen to other experiences. But America seems to be kicking goals in that area.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely stuff going on here. And I know that, you know, at this point, I just kind of came out of the closet in March. So it hasn't been too long. And Suzanne Chancellor was just really instrumental in me coming out using my real name. Because at first I thought, okay, I'll come out, but I won't use my real name. But, you know, I've done several radio interviews and they are wonderful. I've been asked about a couple of TV shows. And there's been so much negativity from my friends that have agreed to do TV shows that the TV shows seem to have this thing where they sound very sincere and they want to tell your story like it
Yep.
is, but ultimately make you look like an idiot. And so there seems to be a real difference between the radio and the podcast versus
Well, I think
television.
for starters, those who download the podcast or listen to the radio, they're interested in the topic, or those who listen to coast over where you are. And then when you go to the actual media, if you talk about the main stations, because they're not interested really in the topic for what it is and see the importance of it, it's really laughter. And it's funny you brought up that how they're really cool with you at the start, and then you get into the interview and then you see the edited cut final production of whatever interview they did. It's not what they set out to do to look at the what you've got and all that. And that just happened to one of my friends here in Australia. That's happened to me multiple times. But then again, other people look at it as in, well, any media is good media. But what I've got a problem with is that I can agree with any media is good media, but what I can't agree with is the ridicule they put on people personally. And that's why I give a lot of praise to you using your real name and going public, because I know what it was like myself. But then you get to a point, you'll get a lot of hits, like people, having a go at you, but it gets to a point where you just don't care. That's their opinion. You're cool with it. But it takes a while to cool with it because, it's very emotionally draining. And, it's like you're telling everyone that the earth is round and they still think it's flat. So, but that's definitely going on in America. I've heard that some news stuff that has been covered, has been looked at okay. But, there's still a lot of interviews and that are sort of hack jobs.
And it's just so sad. I mean, I kind of, you know, and a lot of that's real recent. And you'd think after a certain amount of time, they'd start to give it a little bit more respect. But, you know, my position is I'm not out to change your mind or have converts. You know, I'm not here to defend, debunk, or debate my story. It's my story. You can do with it what you want, but I'm not going to sit here and argue about it. And I don't appreciate it if somebody tries to make someone in my position look like a fool. You know, it even though we say, oh, it rolls off us and it, you know, you get used to it and it
Still
doesn't
hurts.
bother you. Yeah, because we're humans and we have human emotions and you do have that because I think you do still question yourself on a daily basis about your sanity. And, you know, I read this wonderful line in a book. If you haven't read The Afterlife of Billy Fingers, it's a great book about a woman who her brother died and her communication with him after he died. But, you know, she said this quote and it really hit me. She said, delusion doesn't create doubt. So if you're delusional, you're not going to doubt yourself. You're just going to be delusional. Whereas I think we question ourselves on a daily basis, you know, and each time a new experience happens, we say, okay, can we rationalize this some other way? We do try to debunk it ourselves. But that was real powerful for me. Delusion doesn't create doubt. So it makes you feel a little bit more sane in the midst of all
The
the crazy
craziness
that we
going
go
on.
through.
Do you have much high strangeness activity in your house, which seems to be common? Like I get weird stuff going on here, like objects moving and doors opening and closing and orbs flying through the house and sort of lightning and lightning streaks. Have you seen anything like orbs, or do you get sort of trippy stuff happening in your house at all?
Yes. As a matter of fact, and it's funny because again, Kathleen Marden and Denise Stoner were the first two people to kind of rescue me from this when it started happening. And one of Kathleen's questions was that question that you just asked me. And I said, well, yes, we do. And I never put the two together, that they could be related or, interrelated or, but we do have orbs. I recently on my Facebook page just posted a video of my cat who we had gotten that new cat toy. It looks like there's a little mouse running under the yellow sheet of material and three orbs, two very fast ones, and then a slow one comes down in the video screen. And it was interesting because we had all the lights on. It was really bright, and we don't usually catch them with the lights on. So these orbs, in the last orb that comes through, you can see our cat looking up and following it down in the direction that it's going. So we couldn't see that with our naked eye. So it was kind of cool to think, is he seeing something there? But I will say that, we were getting lots of orbs that would show up in our photographs in the house. But what's interesting is that now we see the orbs without the camera.
Exactly.
So
That's what
not
happened to
like,
me, actually. It's like you get to a certain stage and then you actually start picking up on it. First couple of times you're like, did I see that? Because it's like as if they phase into visibility and then they phase back out, and then sometimes they're full on, and you can see them go through windows and walls and all sorts of weird stuff. So yeah, no, I know exactly what you're saying.
My daughter sees them a lot. I have seen them just a couple of times. But clearly an orb. I mean, very and often with a like a little tail, like it'll kind of just whoop, just come through. I did have one experience where I had been, my daughter's room was like pitch dark, and I was walking by the room and I saw this blink, this red light, like a pinpoint laser blink twice. And it like I stopped short as I was walking by the door. And I went into the room. I tried to find a source. My husband came home. We both tried to find a logical explanation for this. There was nothing electrical near where I had seen it. It was, you could tell it wasn't coming from somewhere else. There was no beam attached to it. It was just like this little laser point that blinked. And for some reason, I had thought that I heard Stan Romanek had a similar situation, and I asked Lisa about it, and she said, "Oh yeah," she said, "don't panic. They are just checking on you."
Exactly, and that's
It's
what
true.
came through on my hypnosis, because I've had ex a lot of experiences with the red orbs, not just at home but at my brother's place. And what's funny is I recorded one, and I didn't even know what I did. I went out the backyard and I had an infrared camera, and I pressed record, and I was sitting out the back having a cigarette, and all of a sudden I saw a red orb. Now, next thing I remember is I'm inside and it's the next day. I've got complete missing time. And when I look back on the footage, which is, I can't explain this. Now, it's an infrared camera. The footage should have been in black and white, but you can see the red orb as a red orb. So, yeah,
Really?
it's one of those infrared cameras where in
That's
daylight
something.
it will show color, but at nighttime it will show, infrared, but it still doesn't explain why it's not in infrared. But a year later, I was going to do a talk at the UFO research meeting in Sydney. And just before the talk, I was setting up the presentation at home before I flew up there, and I noticed white lights blinking in and out behind it. So there was something up there that I didn't even see, like a craft or something was high up, and then the orb sort of appears, and then I've had complete missing time. And I know, like, that's a fact, because I was meant to go and see my mum and brother that night because my brother was coming in town, but I never got there. And they said, "You know what happened to you?" And I said, "I woke up inside. Last thing I remember was being out the back." And it's very common, but in the hypnosis it did come through that that they were just checking in, sort of thing. And that's the information I've had before. So there's nothing really to worry about. It's sort of just weird. You're like, am I seeing that? Is that for real? But like I learned is that when that type of things happen, I usually try to look elsewhere if it's in the house or outside, because now I'm thinking, there's something else around too, not just the orb. There's, a craft or beings or something's, something else is about than just the orb. But that I've come to that conclusion just because of that footage. You know what I mean? It's like, that's really weird that that's all I saw, but that was there. So, yeah, but that's very common, the high strangeness factor.
Oh yeah, and we also have we have a little white poodle, and we will my again my daughter and I have seen this. My husband has not, but it's like this little mist of white that'll kind of spin and then leave the room, like a and we call it the ghost poodle. We don't know what it is, but it's this little white ball of like a little cloud that will just kind of zoom up and then leave the room. And we've seen that a lot, and the animals have seen that. So it helps when you know that your daughter and your animals are seeing the same thing. But I kind of get a comfort from it. Like I've whereas the ET experiences, the full-on experiences are scary. And again, it doesn't mean they're negative. It's just mind-blowing, you know. These other minor things, like seeing the orbs, whether with the camera or the naked eye, seeing the little ghost poodle, seeing the little blinking laser light, I find comfort. There's like a comfort there, and I don't know what that is, but I'm thankful for it because it could make you have a lot of different emotions, but my emotion is comfort, so I'm thankful for
No,
that.
that's good that that's where you're at, because there are people out there having not too good experiences, but it then a lot of the time eventually they seem to embrace it and they're cool with it. It's just the awakening process where it's just all freaky. So you haven't had any encounters with reptilians or anything like that?
Not that
Not that
I'm
you're
aware
aware
of.
of
I do
yet.
have several friends. Yeah, several friends of mine, though. The first support group I went to was online, and it's called Starseed Awakening, and it's on Facebook. And they have an UVU group that meets twice a week, and you can have up to 12 people, and it's a video chat. And most of them are reptilian experiencers. But even still, even though their experience wasn't my experience, in the beginning, it was just so helpful, again, to hear some of their stories. So, yeah, but for me, I have
Yeah.
not,
No,
no.
it's interesting to hear, other people's takes and experiences. Like me and myself, like everyone says, oh, the reptilians are bad, blah, blah, blah. But out of the three experiences with them, and all different races, different types of reptilians, but two of them weren't so good. And one of them was pretty cool. And they actually wanted some form of a set. They said, tell your people we want ascension too. It's like they're stuck in a box and they can't evolve unless they break out of their own paradigm. And that's where I've said to people, well, take it or not, because I can't prove that to you. I've got a lot of footage and evidence, but I can't prove that experience. But that's where I've said, not, it's like saying all humans are bad. It's, you've got some good and you've got some, that it's more like as if they're into service mode or self-service mode. And, that's just how it is really, but it's a crazy universe out there. Like Dolores
It
Cannon
is,
says,
yeah. It,
convoluted universe. I can totally agree.
right. Right. Yeah, and that's what I always say to people when they ask me, are they good or are they bad? And I'm like, well, the ones that I've been dealing with, I feel are very good and loving, but I know people that have had bad experiences, and I think just like there's good and bad humans, there's probably good and bad
Yeah.
ETs. Yeah, and sometimes this is not a sexist comment, but this is just an observation that I've made. It seems like women deal with it a little better than
They
men.
do.
They seem to,
They do. I
yeah,
can
they seem to work through it
100% guarantee
quicker,
that.
and
Yeah.
they,
Yeah.
yeah. So that's kind of interesting. I think a lot of it just comes down to acknowledging it, trying to accept it the best way you can, learning the tools you can use, like meditation, to give yourself a little bit of control over the situation, and making a peace with it, and realizing I probably made this agreement a long time ago, and if this is my mission, because so many experiencers have that sense of
I've got the
mission,
exact,
and they have.
yeah, it's, and I've seen
Yes.
how this all, you know, I've seen how that actually agreement started for me. I actually had it projected to me. So,
Wow.
yeah, I can't guarantee it for all experiences, but to me, I do tend to think that that's the situation, because the past life situation, that's why I wrote Operation Starseed, is that many beings from higher planes and dimensions, and even from the God Source itself, has come down the planes to help and reincarnate into the human body, because they can't really just inflict what they want from outside. And
Right.
that's why this is
Yeah.
going on. It's not a normal thing for that to happen, because of the karma and manipulation going on here, and we're sort of coming down, raising the vibration, trying to break that. We've all sort of, I call it Operation Starseed, like a military operation. We've come down to here, but not for war, but to help. And it's
Right.
the awakening process is sort of the biggest part to take on, because it's a lot to absorb. But you know, I reckon women deal with it a lot better than males, and I think that's because, and I might shock some ladies saying this, but I think women are emotionally stronger than men. I really do think that. I think they can, they can deal with things a lot better. They can get by, and it's not like they forget about it. They look at it for what it is, and just sort of see the avenues, the options, you know, to go on, you know, with whatever. But men, sort of, they stew on things, they get upset, or they just want to completely block it out and not deal with it. But women
Right.
seem to,
Yeah.
I just think women are, you know, way more emotionally stronger than men. But then, you know, that's
Yeah.
the balance of yin and yang. You know, men aren't, women are. You know, you got your good, you got your bad. So positive, negative.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree. And again, that's not male bashing at all. I think if you just look stereotypically, if you look in the annals of psychology, that everything you just said is very true. And I think that once a man says, gosh, yeah, that's true, you can then from there move on to let me tap into my feminine side. Let me tap into these emotions and let's move on so we can get the mission done. Because otherwise, it hinders whatever the reason is that you're here and experiencing the things you're experiencing. So I think as soon as men get that, it'll help because we need both the men and the women on board with all
Yeah,
of
and I
this.
think now too is that the powers, like the qualities of male and female, are sort of, they're aligning now, where for so many years it, you know, people looked down on women or controlled or whatever, and now it's starting to balance out with this shift of consciousness, the vibrational change here, which is good. And you
Yes,
know,
absolutely.
somebody else said this a while ago, and I was sort of saying it at the same time, is I could tell from the planetary changes and the vibrational frequency changes, there was a couple of weeks, a few months ago, where I didn't actually say it, I went up to like my mum and her partner and my dad and his partner and even a few friends, and I said, are you guys fighting? And I said, how'd you know? And I was just like, I'll tell you a bit later. And I went and asked everyone, and everyone's like, how do you know this? I said, look, I can't tell you how this comes, because I said, all this stuff just comes to me. But I said, what's happened is the energies are leveling out at the moment. And I said, it's not that yous are right or wrong. I said, are yous fighting over nothing? And they said, yeah. I said, is anyone right? Is anyone wrong? And they said, no. And I said, that's what it is. I said, the levels are starting to balance out. And you're going to have this once in a blue moon, this sort of changing, where, you know, we're balancing out. And, you know, it's a good thing. But I just say, you know, just go and, one of you's going to sit in the lounge room and one go outside, you know, just don't make nothing of it and don't get into it, you know, just, you know, it's time to go and chill out.
Yeah.
And you know, you're exactly right, you know, once more men step up to the plate too, because there's so many women experiences out there where I know there's a lot of, you know, probably just as many men as well, but you just don't seem to hear a lot about it.
Right. Yeah. And it could be too, men are often in jobs that might be higher profile and
Yeah.
they don't want to come out talk about it because they could lose their job. I mean, there's lots of reasons why they may not be as prevalent as the women. But the important thing is they're
Yeah.
there. And even if they're not completely out of the closet and talking on the radio or TV about it, I do think I know in the groups that I've been involved with, there's plenty of men and they're starting to get it. So it's important and necessary, like you said, for that yin and yang to come together to make whatever we're supposed to be doing happen. And it, you know, it may not even happen in our physical lifetime. But I think we are laying that groundwork for whatever.
Yeah. And I think it's going to happen how most people don't think, because it's been related to me that way. And I'm seeing changes without actually seeing the change for it to happen. Like for something to change from one state to another, there's got to be something to make that happen. But I'm seeing the changes, but I'm not seeing how it happened. Where it's, you know, a pretty tripped out thing. Now, you've got a book coming out next year, have you?
Yes, I hope it will be finished for next year. I'm about a third of the way through with it. And it's called Happenings, and it's about my own personal experiences from childhood right up through today. I'm going to have a section in the back of resources to help other experiencers, and probably do a chapter on the EFT and what it is and how it works. So my goal for writing that book is twofold. The first one is that it's therapeutic for me to document it and write it down. And the second one is for any experiencers that are still at home and cowering in the corner and afraid of the dark, thinking they're by themselves and nobody else has experienced this. Because the thing that helped me the most in the beginning was reading those stories in John Mack's book and learning that, okay, other people are experiencing these things. They've seen what I've seen. They've felt what I've felt. And you don't feel so alone. So it's just one more book to be out there that somebody might find that can give them some comfort and validation.
Yeah, and I sort of did my books from that, you know, situation as well, looking at why I wanted to do that. And I had to do it. You know, it was something that just, you know, there's no ifs or buts. I've just got to get it done. I did 4 in 1 year, which is a bit maybe over the top, but everything in there is what had to be out. It was very draining, but...
That's wonderful.
Yeah. And that's it. You know, I think those who come across whatever we do and others do, I think they're just meant to come across it, because there's so much stuff out there, but I don't see any of it going to waste. I see it as those who come across whatever they come across, they're meant to. Sort of like how you came across the Travis Walton Fire in the Sky movie. You know, it'd been out for ages, but you came across it when you came across it, and obviously that was meant to be, and it's been very similar for myself.
Yes. Yeah, the synchronicities, I mean, they will happen, and they are your preparation work for the bigger stuff, and they are your confirmation after you start experiencing your stuff that, you know, it's validation, it's confirmation, and we need that. I think we need that. And honestly, I don't know about you, but I think on a daily basis, I get some kind of confirmation.
Yep. And every now and then you have that doubt too. Even I know this is real, and because others have seen it with me, the evidence and everything else, but every now and then too, you'll get a little bit down, and all of a sudden when you get to that state, something happens and it's like a pick you up again. But I think it's because you're in the body computer, the human body. You have that, you know, doubt again, because whether it's people, you know, paying you out or judgment, or just feeling like you're not fitting in the world, which, you know, all these types of things are, you know, what star seeds commonly say. You know, I felt like I was never from here. I was like the black sheep at school. I always thought things were screwed up the way, you know, things were done on this earth, whether it was, you know, political or government structure, society structure, whatever. And then all of a sudden, you know, you'll have an experience, you'll see something, or something will come to mind. And that's the twofold of, you know, the confirmation to that, you know, you have your downs, but then from those downs, you'll basically automatically get a confirmation. So it's sort of like a, you know, there's just so much to take in from this, isn't there?
Yes. I mean, it's very overwhelming. There are those days I say, gosh, I am surprised I'm doing as well as I'm doing, you know, mentally. And, you know, there's those days where I wish I could go back to the way things were before, because I don't remember that. It's gone. My world. Yeah. Yeah, it's like ancient history, and I, you know, and I look at my daughter and I think, gosh, you know, what was it like before all of this craziness? So I do have my days where I just want to, you know, come back into the real world and be like everybody else. But most days I say, okay, this is happening for a reason. I probably signed up for this. So how can I do what I'm supposed to do the best way that I can? So I'm kind of trying to rise to the occasion of whatever the occasion
I
may
think you're
be.
looking at it good, but because to me, what you're doing is you're looking at your experiences skeptically, which I reckon that's fantastic. And I've said it to another mate that was on the show because even though I've had experiences, I'm just telling people, you know, I'm a star seed, this is what's going on. And they might believe me, but because they haven't had that, and how you're saying, you know, it's most likely that you've signed up for this contract. Now, I can say, well, I know that that's my experience of what happened. But what's, you know, refreshing for me, instead of just because you've heard other stories, you're not saying, I reckon this is what, you know, this is definitely what's happened. You don't know because you haven't experienced what I have. So to me, it's good that you're being skeptical about your own experiences because you're looking for your own validation to point you to know that, you know, this is what's going on rather than saying, because so and so said this and so and so said this. This is what's going on. And to me, you know, if that was me doing that, I couldn't imagine doing that because I've been so skeptical. And even my brother, he's had a few weird things happen. He's the biggest skeptic I know. He knows this is real, but when he looks at evidence or stories, he's very skeptical. And I think, you know, debunkers are a problem because they've already got a mindset of, you know, their outcome is fitted to what they've already what they already perceive as this being, you know, a load of crap. But when you're skeptical, what you do is you're looking at something neutral, you're looking at all the evidence and the data, and then, you know, you come to your conclusion. Or if you've, you know, had an experience where something's been told to you know, you're relating something that has been told to you from something otherworldly or, you know, from what other state. So I think it's refreshing to hear you know, you're not saying this is what's happened because you don't know, which, you know, that's really good for me, you know, talking to other experiences because, you know, it's good to just see somebody look at something like that. And, you know, a lot of the people I talk to, like yourself, they are like that, but there are a few out there that sort of make us look a bit loopy. They may be having experience. I can't say if they're having experiences or not. Because, you know, I know what it's like for me. You know, people have judged me and I don't want to put that on anyone, but there's people that just go, it's sort of like they get everything and put it together, but they've got no validation for doing so because I haven't experienced or witnessed it.
I wonder about those people.
I do too.
I know. Yeah, I mean, I just it kind of aggravates me when I see those people. And yeah, it gets frustrating, and I don't know, there just are those people, and I try not to be judgmental, even though it gets to me
Yeah.
sometimes,
It just makes it harder for us
because we
doing what
are.
we're doing because if you've got, you know, it's like you've got disinformation with real information, but because it's all in there, you know, it's so hard to sort out what's real and what's not. And a lot of the time, like I've said, the researchers, I said, you know, how many, you know, experiences have you talked to? And they've said none, you know, and I'm like, well, you're doing what you're doing without, you know, a lot of the times it's armchair researchers. Where that, you know, I haven't got, I think that it's good that we've got researchers, ufology groups, and all that, and resources and hypnotherapists and, you know, whatever. But what gets me is the people that just, you know, they'll sit in their chair and they do all their information from sitting in a chair without picking up a phone, using Skype or going out into the actual field and doing something. And it's like they go off other people's information where a lot of the time I've found out that I could get a book and then I will go and talk to somebody or whatever, even who's writ that, and they've screwed up the information, you know, that they've put in there. It's a mistake. We all make mistakes. I've done it, you know. We make mistakes, but because people treat that as gospel, you know, it sort of puts, you know, doubt on everything. And, you know, it's very hard for us because we're trying to get out there and put something out there. But then you got, you know, you do have your whacks, and you know, it's. I was talking on another show where a friend of mine got given a photo from this lady saying that she took this photo, and it was a photo from 1989 in Belgium. I know this lady didn't take that photo. It's the famous triangle craft. And I'm just like, I said to her, I said, this is what I'm talking about. I said, this is just crazy, this field, that there's so many good people. But I said, you get stuff like this, somebody's sending you a photo that I know that that person didn't take. And it's even said to be now fake. But I'm on the fence because I haven't sent actual data to prove it or disprove it. So I don't believe it. But somebody sent this photo to us saying that they took it when I know they didn't. And it's like, well, why would people waste their time doing that? It's very weird.
I don't know. And I guess, everybody's got their weird thing. And I guess for some people, this is their thing. And it can create interference for the people that are really trying to, say, hey, this is the real deal, we think. Yeah, it can be confusing for the public, I think, when you have those two sides trying to go in the same
Oh,
direction.
definitely. It just muddies the waters. That's probably the best way to put it. Especially for those getting into this or who are interested in this. And it's good now too that a lot of people who haven't had experiences are actually interested in the subject. Where usually people who have seen UFO or had an experience, they're usually the ones interested in it. Where now, there's a lot of average Joes on the street that are interested in UFOs and paranormal topics, which it's a good change because they're opening up their minds, and not so 50 years ago. Or I've had said to me that 100 years ago they would have taken me out the back of a church and put a bullet through my head. So,
Or burned you at the
yeah,
stake.
exactly. So we can see where that change is going. So have you got any talks or anything coming up that you're doing in the States at all, or any presentations? Have you done that type of thing yet?
Other than our support groups, I believe I am doing the Experience or Speak conference next September in Maine, which is put on by Audrey Hewins and the Starborn support
Cool.
team. So that's a really neat thing. They've done it 2 years in a row now. Next year will be their third year. And all it is experiencers coming in and telling their stories. And they have people like Travis Walton and Steve Pierce and Kathy Martin and Stanton Freeman and,
Cool lineup.
wonderful. Yeah, it's a wonderful lineup of people. It goes Friday through Sunday. And yeah, so that, unless something happens between now and then, that is going to be the first official public speaking kind of thing that I'm doing. And of course, when I have the support group, I'm usually speaking there. But yeah, that's kind of a cool thing that's going to be happening. And I'm thinking that, well, this past year they actually did video everybody. So you can find it on YouTube. If you type in experiencers speak too, you will be able to listen to everybody who got up and spoke at that
It's good they
convention.
do that type of thing because a lot of people, especially here in Australia, there's a lot of people that wish a lot of the speakers that you get over there we get here, and on occasions we do, but it's just good for people in Asia or in the UK or here that we can go on YouTube and just look at this because we're getting to where you guys are now here. It's like we're a little bit behind in how developed the speaking is and the radio shows and all that, but Australia's, for the population, I think we're doing pretty darn well. We're sort of catching up to where you guys are there with, getting this stuff out there in forms of magazines. Well, we've got a good magazines like The UFOlogist and I think Nexus as well and that type of thing. So it's just good that, if somebody's interested, they can just go to YouTube and, type it up, click bang, and have a watch because, a lot of people wish they could go over there and visit or see some of the speakers. So that's good that they, chuck that up.
Yeah, and their mission is just being able to reach the masses and to help the people that maybe can't get to Maine. They want to still be able to be accessible. So, it was really nice that they did record it all. And starbornsupport.com is available. There's a phone number there for anybody anywhere that might need it. Audrey's goal is to not just have somebody in every state, but hopefully every country would have a contact person there for Starborn support for whoever may need help in that moment.
Now that's
So
good.
hopefully it, yes, I mean, her goal is for it to become international. So, and it's specific to experiencers, you know, unlike, you know, where MUFON, you've got the UFO stuff, that's primarily their thing. And Kathy Marden is in charge of their abduction studies, which is awesome. But yeah, this is, you know, the thing for experiencers
Now that's good, and it's
that are.
an avenue for them to get information and speak and network, which I think is of benefit, exchanging experiences, ideas, takes on things, and it's just amazing how a lot of experiences from worldwide is very similar, whether it's with the orbs or the crafts or the being, it shows that this is a worldwide thing.
Yes. Yeah. And I think it's just more so now than any other time in history. You know, and they're letting us remember, you know, that, I mean, that's another thing is, you know, they say there's millions of people being taken or experiencing these things, but it seems from what I hear that it's more in these last few years that we are being allowed to remember and talk about it.
Yeah, I can see
Whereas before
that.
we didn't even know.
No,
Yeah.
definitely. All righty. Well,
So.
thank you for being on the show, Debbie. And
Well, thank you, Peter. It was great speaking with
yeah, and
you.
I'll have you on again sometime in the future. We'll keep in touch. And what I'll do is I'll put a link to your Facebook and your website up on my
Okay.
website where people get this download, so they've got a link to you. And yeah,
Okay.
thank you again, and we'll talk soon.
That sounds great. Thank you so much,
Alrighty, have a
Peter.
good day.
You too.
Bye bye.
Bye-bye.